Hey, good morning, guys. It's John and Amy here. We always get these little bit of downloads, you know, when we're just waking up in the morning, eating our fruit, sipping on our matcha, and talking to Jesus. And just want to share, you know, just his insights and analogies he gives, because I know it'll help you guys, because we're all in this together, in this journey, and learning how to walk with him, learning how to gauge, really, how do we do this thing called life, and, you know, finding our footing in it, finding our purpose in it, and you know, you've always heard the thing, don't get out ahead of God, and don't get behind God, you know, just walk in step with him. And what does that look like?
And that really comes from fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a lot of people say that out of fear, you know, don't be careful not to get ahead, be careful not to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, God is way more secure and relaxed. Mm-hmm. than we tend to be, of course. So
yeah,
we want to obviously be riding the top of the wave with him.
Yeah, but, in the sweet spot, in the zone, in the flow.
But what we're coming to the realization is, if I could just say this, is that we're in him already. Mm-hmm. And so anything we do, anything that we engage in,
feel inspired by, we're
already there. Because we're always trying to get somewhere, think that we're doing something right or think that we're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When we're already on the wave with him. You know, if we believe that way, wake up in the morning, I'm already on the wave. Instead of trying to get on the wave or trying to...
Right.
You know, am I doing it right? You know,
I know it's so true. It can become such a mental torment. But, you know, I heard something so good the other day about how we are not the process. We are living out in the process of life. Life here on earth is in process.
But we're not in process.
And no, we're you know, of course it's shaping and bringing us into maturity and we're waking up into who we really are. But, you know, we put so much effort on, I'm in process and I'm, you know, I'm having to get free of this and purify that and learn this and learn that. And we make ourselves such a work of efforting instead of relaxing and enjoying the process. And guys, I'm guilty of this, because I want it. You know, I want to advance. I'm an advancer. And I want to always be advancing, always be learning, always be growing. And, you know, that's a good thing. But if I'm not enjoying the ride, then I'm missing something and I'm putting up resistance. And the Lord can't get through as easily because I'm efforting in my own strength instead of allowing him to, you know, move me and lead me. He's always talking to me about being in the hold of a dance. And just follow his leads and prompts and enjoy the dance. And sometimes, just like yesterday, he was telling me, because we're in the midst of kind of a wait, you know, like on standby for what's coming next for us to enter into. And he just showed me to stay in the hold. And he was just swaying me back and forth. It's like when you're waiting for the next count of the beat and then you move forward into it. Or you're waiting for the song to switch into the next dance song. And so it was just really, really good on that.
Yeah, I was getting a picture of, you know, when you're surfing in the ocean, any surfer will tell you there's an effort to paddle out. There's an effort to paddle up onto the wave, and then it's free flowing from mm-hmm. there through, you know, the balance and the muscle memory into that balance of being there before, mm-hmm. right? But with God, it's like in the book Effortless Provision, where I wrote about in the Artery of Creativity, where there's the wave, there's a color-filled wave, and it's already raging on the side of the wall. And Jesus is there summoning me to come jump into the side of the wall. And you'll have to read it if you haven't read it, but it's really fascinating. And I was taken over with no effort when I jumped into the color-filled water. I was taken over by the current and placed on top of the wave next to him. And so it's there's no effort in this thing called spirit. It's we're in spirit, we're inspired, right. And there's no effort in inspiration.
That is the key that propels you.
Yeah, there's exhaling, there's exhaling and then there's inhaling. That's the rhythm of life, right? But then there's an expiration versus inspiration. Expired means it's over, it's done, right? You're expired.
It has no spirit left.
It has no spirit left. And that's what
how many jobs and business ideas and stuff have no spirit left for you? And God's waiting to give you more inspiration for something new.
Yeah, and in Hawaii, they call the white man, the person, they call him a haole because they have no spirit. That was the original meaning of it, meaning that they came in and they didn't know how to engage the aloha spirit and the flow of ohana, the flow of inspiration.
They just gave a handshake or a nod, and where, you know, Hawaiians greet each other, breath. It's
face-to-face.
Nose-to-nose, face-to-face, forehead-to-forehead, because they're breathing each other's breath of oneness.
Yeah, and so
they understand spirit.
And so on the wave, if you really think about this, it's our only, quote, job in life is to balance on the wave, on top of the wave, and ride the wave. And he does all the work.
And it's fun.
It's fun.
It's a thrill. Yeah. It's, you know? And then I could hear people saying, well, it's not all, what do they say, all candies and roses or whatever.
Well, then what are you doing? Here's the question. Then what are you doing to say that?
Right.
What are we doing in life? What are we doing in life when we say this is hard?
Yeah.
This is hard work. And, it, you know, I know this is part of our language, but we're really trying to change that in our own lives, our language. And I did a post on Facebook recently about coming into the new year and said, look at it this way. Change your wording from work to creativity. Whenever you say work, change it for creative or creativity or creative flow. And work, you know, change your language from those two meanings and watch what happens throughout the year just by changing those two words.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, this is work. No, this is creativity. Even if it doesn't seem like it, it'll change itself into creativity.
That's right.
That's what we're born for. That's in our DNA.
Yeah, and it really is, guys. It's the law of attraction, right? Whatever you put your attention on multiplies. And so if you can put your attention on, like John saying, change the word to create, or this is fun, this is enjoyable, then you're going to get more of it. And we've been so taught that if we focus on what we don't like, what we don't want, it's going to motivate us enough to make the change. But really what it does is it sinks our ship into depression, because all we keep getting more of what we don't want, more of what we don't like, then we become bitter, and it's just a downhill spiral. Where if we can start focusing, knowing that God's already heard our request to get out of something or want to change, you know, we've got to trust that He is answering that and start focusing on what we do like, you know, where we're on our way to, what is going good, and we'll get more of it. You know it sounds like a Pollyanna saying or whatever, but it really is true. If you think about it, where you put your attention, where you put your focus, it multiplies. So what do you want to multiply? Do you want more turmoil, because that's what you're looking at to multiply? Or do you want more goodness and things that are working well? You can find one thing. You get to have a hot shower, you know, or you get to have a fridge that stores your food and keeps it cold. There's always something, and it's going to help pull you out of this mindset. And I tell you, it doesn't take long, right, of experiencing depression and things you don't like to say, oh, this isn't working. So I've got to tip the scales here and start doing something different, knowing that I'm powerful to create my current reality of what I'm experiencing. We all have a life path, you know, that we agreed to with the Lord before we came down. But it's our choice in creating the reality of how we're going to experience that with, you know, our thoughts, our feelings, the meanings we're attaching to things. So, yeah.
Yeah, and when you're looking at this thing, guard hard, all hard work and toil, the tree of knowledge, Amy was sharing about earlier, but she can touch on that. But I wanted to say about the, this generation, the young generation coming up, doesn't want to hear things like, oh man, see all this hard work. See what this will get you, son. See what this will get you, daughter. You do a lot of hard work. You do a lot of hard work, sweat and toil, and it'll pay off for you. And see what I built over here. See this over here? It doesn't come by nothing but hard work. And so, you know, when they hear that, it's like fingernails on the on the chalkboard. And here's why. Not for the reasons that you think. The older generation, I see it all the time, labels the younger generation as lazy and they don't want to work. And I just saw a big post on it the other day where somebody's just going off on these lazy young people that don't want to do anything. And then but did you ever stop to think of what that perception is in your own head, in your own spirit, in your own soul?
Own understanding.
That's directed towards them. Maybe it's because, and I'm not saying, there's no denying that there's lazy people. There's lazy people
in
your age, too.
In every generation,
right? So, but what is God saying in this younger generation? They are so creative and they're so wanting to express themselves that did you ever stop to think that the older generation that believes in the hard work, sweat, and toil is bringing an oppression upon their creativity to a degree by saying these things and living this way?
Out in the atmosphere.
And so then the younger generation doesn't have a chance to rise up and thrive in their creative flow to give an example of what effortless creativity looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they don't want to hear it, it means, listen, I want you to see the creative expression I've come to earth to be and do.
That's
and
right.
to release. And once you see that, then you'll see that my creativity is 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And there's your, quote, hard work that you're looking for. But it's not work to me because it's creativity.
Right. And it may be on social media. And the older generation, all they see is somebody on their cell phone. And they're like, ah, look at them. They're just lazy. Little do they know that person built this huge following. And they're leaving amazing quotes. They're doing amazing motivational videos and posts and articles and blogs that the older generation has no clue they're doing. All they can see is, oh, they're on their phone, look at them, they're occupied again. And it's like, they don't see all the testimonies coming in. Man, you changed my life. Keep blogging. Oh man, that quote just brought me out of depression, or I was going to end my life. And that one quote you posted changed my life. And I feel like I can live again. And
what about the one girl? Remember the girl, that younger girl, she's a teenager. We saw her on one of the shows, and she became a millionaire by just dancing on TikTok.
Right.
So I forget her name, but
doing what she loves.
She just danced. Now imagine if her mom or dad or a parental figure in her life were to say, why don't you get out and get a real job? Go to McDonald's,
exactly.
girl. Go to McDonald's and flip burgers. You got to get a real job to make some money. And what's all this dancing going to do for you?
Yeah.
And here she is. She becomes a millionaire through the advertising and through the views and all of that on TikTok because she loves dance and she's good at it.
See,
we've got to look at this really different, you guys.
Totally. And this is, I think, the thing Jesus was addressing with the Pharisees all the time, is you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And this is what's happening, is the adults, it's tearing the adults or tearing the older generations with the new wine that the current generations are bringing forth, because it blows their grid. It blows their wine bag, so to speak. And it's just, you know, we've got to remember God is always progressive, and each generation he's bringing on the earth has a key anointing of progression, of moving things forward and better. You know, the whole saying, work smarter, not harder. But the old generation, that's what they had to do in that generation, but they can't apply that onto the new.
No,
it's a new wineskin.
Because that paradigm will automatically think you should be doing it my old school way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, then you're lazy. There's something wrong with you. You're rebellious. And again, we're not talking about those that are truly, in fact, lazy. That's in every generation. That's in every culture. So what we're talking about is, by and large, in the general sense here, is that those that weren't raised in technology cannot understand those that were, if they don't open themselves up to the possibility of, wait a minute, maybe I should learn something new here.
Exactly. Don't stiffen your neck.
Yeah, because each generation comes with more of the effortless flow of what the kingdom is about. Remember, on earth as it is in heaven, how easy and effortless is heaven? Right. Well, you can imagine it if you haven't been there. You can imagine, well, yeah, it's a life of ease. It's a life of joy. It's a life of play. It's a life of fun, right? So if it is heaven and it's supposed to be on earth, then what does that mean? There's some things that need to change.
Yeah.
And it starts with us and our paradigms.
It's not rigid. It's a progressive flow. And, you know, we all have to remember whichever generation we're in, we were progressive at that time, you know? And so
that's right.
Remember, nobody knew a plane could fly until the Wright brothers, you know, and nobody knew they could go out to outer space, and nobody knew that the cell phone could be invented. You know, it's back like at the church. Oh my gosh, playing the guitar and drums, God forbid, that's sacrilege, a sacred cow,
yeah.
And it's just, it's progressive. Things are progressive. God is not stagnant.
But they will tell you, I tell you, the religious world, when they hear the word progressive, oh man, you're a spawn of Satan. And they just, they hate that word because it's not progressive revelation.
Your body's progressive. Your child growing up, he's moving from 2 years old to 3 years old to 4 years old to 5 years old.
Is that called progression?
Yeah, progression. And it's unfolding, expanding. Revelation is being rolled out. So we just want to encourage you to just be flexible, you know?
Yeah, I know you were talking about the tree of knowledge earlier, what that really means versus the tree of life.
Yeah, so, you know, the Lord was sharing with me, because I was asking him, okay, Lord, so how do we do this whole, what does it look like, you know, ending your effort but not becoming where you're lazy and not doing anything, but how do you end your effort and be progressive at the same time? And so he said, well, here's a way of looking at it. When you're efforting, you're leading your path. You're pulling fruit and instructions from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? You're relying on your own intellect, and you're cut off. You're not pulling from the tree of life. So you're efforting in your own strength, right? In your own knowledge. And remember, you know, that is laborious annoyances, you know, the breakdown.
Hardships and toil. That's what the tree of knowledge means.
Yeah, tree of knowledge and evil means, it means that.
Laborious annoyances.
And isn't that how you feel when you're efforting in your own strength? And so I said, okay, so what's the difference, Lord? And he goes, being led. He goes, it's effortless when you're led. When you're led by my spirit, you're feasting on the tree of life, which is giving you revelation, downloads, inspiration. So it's really, whose table are you feasting at? What table are you going to get your information and to move out in? So that was really huge. And just how hard is it to be led? And it really kind of helps. If you feel triggered inside, then it shows that there's still this independence in you trying, you know, and your ego wanting to be in charge and be in control. And so then I say, okay, Lord, so where's the degree of gauging of moving forward, especially for us type A personalities that can go get it done and make it happen. And we've got this thrust and momentum.
We can hustle it out.
We've got a thrust and a power thrust in us, which is a really good thing that we can go get things done. So how do you bring that into the flow with the Lord? And so then the Lord told me, he goes, what do you do when you're driving a car and there's a green light? You put the pedal to the metal. There's a green light. There's permission. And so, you know, accidents happen when you don't, right? And you procrastinate and you don't move at all through that green light.
Or you move halfway.
Yeah, you move halfway, or you're going really slow. And so then that, you know, and I was just even thinking in mental terms, we can have a mental crash if we don't move forward in what God's given us a green light for. And so, so he was saying, what are the things I've already given you green lights for? Move forward in them. You don't have to keep waiting, trying to get it all just right. I've already given you green lights for several things. And let's walk in it together. You take a step, I take a step. You take a step, I take a step.
And here's how this works, you guys. you know, you really think about your own life, okay? And you've tried something that you were really, that was enjoyable to you. And then the thoughts come. This is where our past history, this is where the survival mentality, all of our woundings and pains and hurts and I'm not good enough kind of thing comes up, is when we put our hand to something. Say you're an artist and you're painting a beautiful picture. And then all of a sudden, you start getting these insecure thoughts like, oh, this isn't good enough. Oh, who's going to like this? Who would really want this? And man, I got to fix this. And I got to fix that. And so you spend all this time.
Not perfect.
Yeah, all this time trying to reach perfection. And all the while, the people that love you the most are saying, man, that's awesome. Look at that. Look at that. That is amazing. Oh, well, you know, it's not really that great. Well, I need to fix this. Oh, you know, get out of the room. I need to fix this kind of thing. And so you're wrestling, right? And so then finally you get frustrated because you can't get the head on the hummingbird quite right on your painting. And so you just drop it. You're like, I got to go to work. So then you go to work and then you don't pick up the paintbrush for another 2 weeks.
You talk yourself out of it.
That right there is hesitating through the green light.
Yes.
So you stopped halfway through that green light. And guess what's going to happen? People are going to be honking.
Yeah.
People are going to be shouting. They're going to say, what are you doing? Do you need help? We need to get you out of the middle of the intersection. They're going to be like, man, your car is amazing. Look at this. This is like a new car here. Meaning they're speaking about your painting. This is a new car here. You know, there can't be anything wrong with it. Is it the driver? Is it you? I mean, what's going on here? Oh, well, you know, I'm just scared to make it through the intersection here because I'm just not feeling adequate enough. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is.
Even though the light's green.
Even the light is green the whole time, meaning God is saying, come on, I'm cheering you on.
So it's not God holding you back.
No, it's your insecurities. It's your history. It's your survival mentality.
The story you're telling yourself.
The story you're telling yourself, because you're so programmed and conditioned to go make money in a J-O-B, just over broke. And you're sitting there in that job that you really don't like. Some of you are in jobs you cannot stand.
And again, is God holding you back or are you holding you back?
Or are you there for a little while longer to learn some weighty thing?
Yes.
So that it's for the next season. This is where discernment comes in.
And because relationship,
God could be developing something in you in that moment. But this
you can't
is,
see.
Yeah, this is where discernment... You'll know when the door opens. He provides a way of escape, right? So you'll know when the next opportunity's there, the door opens.
Or when we've you're been resisting.
There, yeah, we've been there a lot, you guys, in our own lives. We've been there more times than I can count. But we know one thing is that God does open doors. Yeah. And this is where we have to be awake enough to see that open door and to take it when we feel a peace on it,
and
right?
Feel the pull and the lead and the prompt of your dance partner, Jesus, leading you out.
So here's let's touch on the some of you. I can just feel they're like, well, how do I make money doing that? Well, first of all, you need to take that question and throw it to the wind. I know it's a legit question, but you're gonna have to put it on the back burner for a minute. All right, just go with us here. How do I make money doing what I love? That shouldn't even be the question, but because it is, we're going to talk about it.
Yes.
We've asked the same question, but what God was showing me and has shown both of us over the years, especially in the Effortless Provision book, is that when you engage in something you enjoy, that's God-given, that's heaven on earth inside of you that is yet to display itself out to the outer world. So heaven on earth is this effortless ability in creating and creativity that's locked up inside. So let me ask you this. Is that ability that came from heaven, does that ability need money? No, because heaven has all the money and all the wealth.
And do you have a laptop or phone? You have a cell phone? Boom. Yeah. Access to the whole world.
So that is already prepackaged.
Mm-hmm.
That gift, that creativity is already packaged with billions and billions of dollars, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take it from that standpoint. When you're putting your paintbrush to the canvas, it's not like you're saying, okay, I hope I get $1 billion first. I hope I get $1 million, or I hope I get paid enough to do it. No. That's not the motive. The motive is, hey, I came to Earth to express brilliance. Yes. Came to Earth to just express and share the joy of what this is. And there's no greater example that we've seen so far in somebody like Ryan Tedder, okay, of One Republic, music group, or Akiana in her art, okay? They have amazing creative gifts, but what they do is they put their hand to the canvas for the pure joy and elation and adventure of creating.
Right. And like we've always said, Akiana, when the interviewer asked her, well, like, what, how do you get inspired? Like, how's this happen? She goes, well, actually, inspiration's always waiting for me. And that's just it.
Inspiration. That's that gift, yeah, that came from heaven inside of you. Inward.
God's just waiting for us to activate it. A lot of times we're waiting for a feeling or waiting to feel better. You know, it's really when you choose. And of course, Holy Spirit's already nudging you to step into it. But we make all these excuses. Well, I don't know if I feel like, oh, I've got to wait till I feel like doing it. But really, it's, you know, you're not going to taste the flavor of something yummy that you're eating till you actually bite into it, right? And so it's activates. That's where we start creating reality and engaging, is by activating it.
Yeah, and once it's activated from the inside out,
then you start feeling,
then this magnetism starts to begin to happen, right, as you're creating. And then the fullness of that magnetic pull, if you stay out of survival mode, like if you're halfway through your painting and you're like, oh man, I hope I get $100 for this. Oh man, I hope I get $500 for this because I got bills coming. If you stay out of that and just do it for the pure joy, then the magnetism starts pulsating greater and stronger, and starts drawing the buyers towards it. Starts drawing the ideas or the open doors, or hey, while you're painting, hey, why don't you take this to such and such Saturday market? And then you inquire or whatever. It starts bubbling up. But where we get into trouble is we're sitting there creating and we're thinking 3/4 of the time, my bills are coming due. My rent's coming due. My rent's coming due. I need to go get a job. I need to go get a job. Well, put it this way. If you need to get a part-time job, then fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's, if you, right, feel at peace on it, just to pay those bills, then that's fine. He can do it in a myriad of ways. But what you don't want to do is sit there in survival mode, trying to create something just for the money, because everybody can smell it on that painting when they go to look at it.
That's right. And when you're trying to sell it, John and I are just waking up so much more about how everything is vibrational. That's why they always say it's not your words that matter. It's actually the vibration. It's your body language. It's the message you're sending out, and people feel that. That's why it's like, you know, if somebody says, I love you. Well, what are you actually feeling and hearing? Anger and annoyance. I'm annoyed with you, you know.
So... Remember the writer, what was his name? The writer that he said all he wanted to do was write. And then his wife was on board. He's written several books. We read the story about him. Can't think of the name of the site right now, but anyway, he wrote an interesting book that we really enjoyed years ago. And he's a blogger, he's a writer, and he said, look, I'm just going to go into this full time. He didn't have a job, he's just going to believe by faith. Okay, you can do that if everybody in your family's on board with it. But it was a struggle for him.
Blue Like Jazz?
No, it was the other guy that, remember they had to switch homes all the time, and they lived with and then he finally said, I can't do this anymore. And then that's when the big contract broke through for him. Anyway, you can go that road. If God is leading you there and you feel it's effortless, then there's a lot of people that have grace and faith for that. But, you know, chances are you're going to go through some things. And again, your spouse, if you're married, has to be on board with that, because the minute something doesn't come through when you want it to, then that could be a big fight between you. So
we want to encourage you guys, you know,
to just not pigeonhole
God to, because it's so easy for us to just be so narrow-minded and this is it, this is what I'm going to do, and this is, God, you've got to come through this way. And remember, we all know the story of the guy that was begging God to be rescued. God sent the boat, God sent the plane, God sent all this stuff, and he gets up to heaven. God, why didn't you help me? It's like, I sent the boat, I sent the plane, I sent the fire department, you know. And so it's being open and aware, and you guys know this, just to how God wants to do things. And so if he's telling you, all right, why don't we take baby steps here and step down to a part-time job? Or what about that stuff I've been telling you to sell online for a long time to get rid of, you know, to kind of minimize.
Yeah, whatever feels easiest. It's a path of least resistance.
It's all about listening and engaging with him. What is the best way for you to get into alignment and following that through? And it's not going to look like anybody else, because he wants this to be you and his relationship, where you're practicing really moving forward on what he's suggesting and, you know, offering to you. And so, and freeing you up so you can create.
Yeah, because believe us when we say this, you guys, we have been the poster children for effort in the past. And, you know, that we still struggle here and there, but we're all growing, we're all learning.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to jobs, you know, we know what it's like to give your all in a job and then you have no energy left. And then you have no energy to create. You're just sitting there zoning out.
Yeah, and you feel trapped.
Yeah, so you wanna say, you know, ask the Lord, of course, and be led into something that really fits your gift cluster, that makes it easy on that side job or something, to where it's not a side hustle.
Right.
You gotta get away from these words, side hustle.
Or this huge leap. You know, sometimes it's not taking this huge leap. It's about just taking the next step that has a lot less resistance in it. So it could be where you've been in a job that is totally out of your ballpark, and you know it, and everybody else knows it around you, and you are efforting to make it work every day because you're not anointed for it. So maybe the next step for you is to look for a job that's actually in the area of your genre, in the area that you're actually anointed, or actually going in with the Lord, what is it that I'm actually really good at? And asking your friends, and, you know, really, maybe you're supposed to be more into the healing, nurturing area, genre, you know, of being in, you know, spa and massages and natural healing and different, or maybe you're called to pets and animals and being an assistant at a veterinarian clinic, and just kind of allowing that to start getting your creative juices flowing and stirring up your anointing.
It reminds me of a guy named James in sales, okay, that I've worked with. And you talk about a guy that's a cog in the wheel or out of he's only a couple degrees off, but he's in sales, but he talks and talks and talks. And in relational sales, anybody that knows, you just don't talk. You listen more than you talk. Well, he talks and talks and talks, but he's nurturing, and he's more of a pastoral shepherd, you know, kind of type. And I've often said that this guy, you know, his real niche, his real, you know, flow would be more in doing some sort of a counseling type of thing, or a podcast where he can talk about relational issues and things like that, because he's always talking about relationships. He's talking about being around people and helping them. And so, you know, some type of a pastoral counselor, nurture, social work kind of thing would be more in his genre, but certainly not sales. And this is where you've got to really be honest with yourself, is that just because you can talk doesn't mean that sales is the equation. It doesn't mean it's the neon light flashing in front of you go into sales. No, sales at its core for any company, anything, if you're pitching a product, should not be a guy sitting there yakking about it. It should be a guy that's absorbed the product, or a woman, absorbed the product enough to fall in love with it, if they are in love with it, and go into a line where you're in love with those. Say if you feel drawn towards, quote, sales. In fact, that word shouldn't even be name sales. But anyway, that's another podcast. Say you really love Apple products. Yeah, you love drawn the Mac to Store.
Specialty.
Yeah, you're drawn towards technology, but you really love Apple products. And so you think, man, you know what? I feel like maybe I should apply there. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do in an Apple Store? You don't talk somebody's head off. You show them the product.
That
you
can let them help handle, what they're asking for.
Yeah, you let them handle the product. And then you walk them through the product as they're feeling it, as they're watching it. And that's why they have them all on display. And they know this. They're pretty genius with this in the branding and everything else, is that they know that they have to get the product in the consumer's hands. So the salesperson is long to come up and assist. Hey, doesn't that look great? Why don't you pick it up and feel it?
Yeah. What is it you're looking for? What is it you're needing this to do for you? Ask open-ended
questions and then be quiet, and then let it bubble up out of them, and then you just point the way.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of salespeople, if you're listening to this and you have that sort of sales bent, keep that in mind, that if you're just going to go sell cars or you're going to go sell some product, don't do that for the money. Don't do it for the money. Whatever you do in any genre, don't do it for the money, because then you're going to be drawn into an industry that may not even be anywhere near, anything near what you're actually linking up to an alignment with internally. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people I hear, oh, I went into nursing for the money. I go, well, that's funny, because it doesn't pay a whole lot right now, does it? And they're like, no, it's not what I thought. I had to go and clean somebody up and take them into the shower. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't realize all the things that were involved. You can tell when a person is really called to be a nurse and when they're in it for the money.
Yeah.
You and can tell.
And it's the same in any genre, any job, any career.
What's the effortless flow?
And this is why it's so important, guys, that we have a responsibility to get into alignment with where our anointing is. We won't be having these conversations of why doesn't so-and-so respect me, and how come they respect so-and-so more than me? And you won't be having these conversations and in these angst of trying to fight for something when you're in your anointing and you know what your anointing is. Because once you do, you know that people will seek you out. It's when you're not in your anointing that people aren't respecting you and they're not seeking you out, because they know it, that you're not in your anointing. And you don't have something to offer them when you're a ear trying to be a mouth, you know. But when you get back into alignment with being an ear, then people that need that ear are going to be drawn to you, and they're going to pay you well for it, like a counselor, you know. So there's the money follows the gift. You know, goodness and mercy shall follow you. You know, these things shall chase you down. There's when you're in alignment, when you're in your anointing. So the anointing brings the abundance. So it's why it's so important.
Like, there's so much truth to that. Yeah, there's so much truth to this. If we would just be innocent like children.
And be honest with ourselves.
Playing with the things we want to play with, you know. It's like you put two children in a room full of all kinds of genres of toys. They're going to gravitate towards what piques their interest automatically.
What
right?
they've been sent here for.
Yeah, they're going to know it because they came from heaven. And on earth, they're going to gravitate. Oh, there's the toy that I saw in heaven that I agreed to.
Or why am I drawn to this? I'm drawn to this.
Yeah, they're drawn to it. And then they go over there, curiosity, and then they want to play with that toy. Well, this is what childlikeness is about. And then they have no concept of, oh, I need to pay my rent. If we allow God to bring innocence back into our awareness, while we're playing the instrument, while we're painting the canvas, let innocence consume us. That innocence will shield us from survival.
Yeah.
And it's huge, you guys.
It is. And you know, I just feel a lot of you guys just think, well, I don't even know right now. I'm so numb. I've been doing these jobs. I'm trying to juggle all these plates. And I've been trying to do all this for so long. I don't even know myself anymore. I feel lost. You really feel devastated because you can't find yourself anymore. And yeah. I just want to encourage you, you're there. That never leaves. The gifts are without repentance.
That's right.
And so all it's going to take is just being obedient, you know, not obedient, but if God has been calling you to make a change, or even if just it's to go on vacation, it's just getting out of your situation for just a moment. And the cork will float back up to the surface. Who you are will start percolating back up. It happens for us, for John and I, when we're in that state and we just get out and we go for a drive. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom.
Ideas.
Inspiration, revelation, what we know we're called to do starts just welling up. And how do you know? Because there's so much juice on it. There's so much joy on it. It is flowing. You know that you know. And so in that moment, just want to encourage you guys, just take that step forward and give yourself that time. You're not lost. The dreams are not lost. Who you are, God's been shaping and rearranging all along. It's just stepping out from under the covering, whatever that is you've been under, and you'll see the light again. It's going to percolate back up. So
yeah,
just that slight shift.
You know, to all those listening that are, you're carrying this heavy weight of guilt, or you felt like you've done something wrong, or maybe you did do something that wasn't, you know, that was out of alignment with who you really are, but you're carrying that into each day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell you that mercies are really new every morning.
Yeah.
They really are tangible and they really are new. It's as if God is waiting and saying, hey, you ready for this brand new day?
Yeah.
Let's go do this together, because yesterday's not there. It's forgiven. Yeah. I don't even remember yesterday.
You're not
but
the
some
same
of you,
yeah.
Some of you are taking your yesterday into today, and it's not even who you are anymore.
Right. You keep reactivating it.
That is done. It's over with. It's in the past. And so take the morning. There's something so special about mornings. Amy knows this. But my Maui mornings, when we were in Maui, and of course you'd say, well, yeah, if I was in Maui, they'd be special too. But there was something about me, with me and the Lord. And of course, Amy had her own Maui mornings too. But I went out to I'd walk out into the powder sand, and the sun would start to hit the sand, and then my feet would touch the warmth of the sand, and the birds would start singing. And I literally felt like this is heaven. This is heaven on earth right here. There's something so special about it. And the first thing I would think of, though, is all the time it would be, your mercies are genuinely true every morning, aren't they, God? They
really are. Yeah, there's a freshness.
It's a fresh, tangible mercy every morning. And that mercy looks and sounds and feels so much like heaven on earth. It really does, you guys. So you know that special spot. You know what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our special Maui mornings, even if you're in North Dakota somewhere. Yeah. That's your special.
It's your favorite cup of coffee that you make first thing in the morning.
In front of the fireplace in the wintertime, or the beach, whatever.
Or your hot shower first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Or whatever, wherever that spot of stillness is. But the mornings are, the mornings are nice and quiet. And we do have that fresh new start. And this is why I'm just encouraging you guys, don't muddy up the water with yesterday. Don't reactivate the thoughts of yesterday. You've got a fresh, clean slate today.
That's right.
Because you're not the same today as you were yesterday. Because we're always moving forward.
That's
we're
right.
growing. And so, it's just, you know, it's just being aware and choosing. I choose to have a new day today. I choose
to stand
think differently
on top of the wave I'm already on. We'll just kind of wrap it up with this, is that in order to break the pattern of the survival mentality of effort,
mm-hmm.
and paddling up that wave, you see, often times we're conditioned and programmed to believe that I still have to paddle.
Yeah.
No, you're already there. We're already there. If we just receive,
you asked, so now it's receive mode.
Yeah, there
God
is
put
no
you
paddling.
On that board.
We're already on top of the wave with him. And so when we picture ourselves when we picture ourselves there, we're there because we are there in spirit. And so when we start from that place, instead of sweating to get up it,
right,
and then things change, you guys. Yes. That's changing the word work for creativity.
And this is such a perfect analogy of asking in prayer. Gosh, the Lord told me this early this morning, because I'm like, man, Lord, what's the block sometimes with me? And he goes, do you realize, this goes back to vibration, he goes, do you realize that when you're asking for things because you don't see them coming yet and believing that I'm actually granting it, you are asking with an already pre-rejection mode. Like you already feel rejected because it's not happening yet. So it's like you're asking, but you're sending out you're sending out a vibration of rejection. I have to keep asking because it's not happening yet. I have to keep asking because it's not happening yet. You know, rejection, yeah. Rejection, denial, denial. And God said, if you'll just shift that to receive. Just when you're asking, come with that energy of receiving. All right, it's being done. I asked, it's already being done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now it's just forming the habit, and it's being aware of what we're actually emanating when we're asking. Is it a want, or a I feel rejected, but I keep asking anyway? The more I ask, then he'll finally grant it. You know? Mm-hmm. No, he already has granted it. We just got to keep staying in receive mode on that surfboard, and know it's on its way. It's on its way. Don't take score too soon. It's on its way. So
that's it, right?
We're
there.
In a new day, and it's on its way.
All right. Well, thank you for listening again, and watch for more of our morning sessions here.
Yes, we love you guys.
Yeah, we love you, we'll and appreciate you.
We'll be keeping in touch here.
Okay. Bye bye.